Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm with you this evening and to be back at Brooksville. It's been a while since we were here, and several years, actually, I think. And I am glad to see all of you again that were here before and some new ones that were not here when we were here at that time. We're going to talk about Abraham this evening. And my understanding from Kent was that you are studying through the book of Genesis in this series of sermons as we go along. But we're going to start tonight in the book of Hebrews, and I would like for you to turn there because there is a summary statement in this great passage about faith in God that the writer exposes for us. And I hope that we can get a real starting picture for the topic that Kent assigned me. The topic is going. And we'll come back to that statement a number of times. But it's found really here rather than in Genesis. It's found here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And we begin our reading at verse 8, which says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He had an idea of where he was going. He was going to a city that God would build. But the text says clearly he didn't know where he was going here on earth. And that's the interesting part of the story that we know. Now, this passage of Scripture may hark all the way back to what is sometimes called Abram's first call to go, not knowing where he was going. Stephen, in the book of Acts, tells us something that reveals more information in a way than the Genesis record does. So you might want to turn there for just a moment. And everybody have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let me see your Bible. There you go. Everybody has a Bible. Let's read from Acts chapter 7. Just two or three verses from this great sermon that Stephen preached before the crowd became so angry that they put him to death. He said, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell." So that seems to indicate, doesn't it, that God spoke to Abraham twice, at least, maybe many times along the way. We don't have recorded for us. But he spoke to him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees and told him to get out of the land. And then he spoke to him in Haran and brought him into the land. So it appears that the text is a little unclear, because when let's read Genesis 12 now. Let's go to what Kent told me was supposed to be our text. And this is in Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And he's going to say there that God had said to him. That's why I said this is a little unclear, because God had said to him, and we're not sure if he had spoken these words in Ur while he was still there, or at Haran when he moved him to come down into the land. But here's what he said, and this is the central part of everything we're looking at tonight. He said, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I'll make you famous. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now all of this is going to come to significance to us with Abraham. And Abraham, as you know, is identified as the father of the faithful, at least by the Israelites. That was true. He was one of those who illustrated from the very beginning the very meaningful kind of faith that God expects of people. Now remember, in our passage we were looking at here in Hebrews 11, if we back up to verse 1, we'll read, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is essentially assurance of something. It's conviction, we might say. It's confidence. But faith differs from other kinds of confidence in that what it is confident of is things that are not seen. So he says faith is the evidence of things not seen. That can only be hoped for. We look forward to those things. That's Bible faith, we call it. You can have faith in all kinds of facts, but this is Bible faith, a confidence. It operates in the realm of things that haven't yet been experienced by us. It's an assurance of phenomena that cannot be perceived by any of our senses. Things that cannot be validated by touch or sight. Matters that cannot be scientifically verified. We walk, the Bible says, by faith and not by sight. And we need to realize that, because as we go through life, we tend to want to believe things that we can scientifically verify. And that's not the case with the things that have to do with our souls. But even so, we are so sure of those things. See, this is Abraham now. This is what our passage is saying. Abraham believed God. So he was going to go without knowing where he was going to go. And that's the key to understanding his faith. And that's the kind of faith. Faith is sure of the things that God has said. And that's the basis of our confidence, isn't it? That we believe God has said these things. We believe that our faith should rest on God's word. So, in Romans 10:17, we are told, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by God's declarations to us. And so, we live by faith. Because God is the one that has said it, then I take it as true. Whether I can empirically test it, scientifically see it in a test tube or not, I believe what God says. And all of you are here tonight because you have faith in God's word, you see. So I believe what God says, whether I feel it, or when I can't see it, or when I can't see my way out of the conditions of life I'm in already, I still believe in God, in God's word. Now, we could argue the evidences of faith, and I'm sure you all have classes where you talk about those kinds of things, and we do at Citrus Park down in Tampa where I work and worship. But tonight, we're looking at Abraham, and the key is his faith. Now, when we get to Genesis 12, that's our passage, Abraham has been told, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. That's the beginning of the promises that God made. So there was Abraham. He was at Haran at this time, which is up in the north, up in Padan Aram. You can see it on this map. Can you see that map very well? Does it show up all right to you? You can shake your head or do something. This is Wednesday night, okay? All right. Can you see Haran up at the top of the map part? So here is, he's come out of Ur, which is down to your right over there. And he's gone up to Haran. His father went with him, and some of the family went, but his father died after a while there at Haran. Abram apparently stayed at Haran until his father passed away. Here is Abraham now. Now he's about 75 years old, we're told. His wife is about 65 years old, and here he is loading up a camel caravan bound somewhere. Bound somewhere, but he doesn't know where. He's just preparing to go because God told him to go. You know, in a nutshell, that's what a life of faith does. Going, but not going and knowing. And who among us has not stepped out in life some way or other, in some circumstances of life, leaving maybe a sure thing, walking away from things that are familiar to us, filled maybe with unimaginable kinds of excitement, but going without knowing? Doesn't a young bride do that? Doesn't a young bride go not knowing what everything's going to be out there? Maybe not even knowing her new husband very well. And the husband does the same. You begin, when you get married, a journey, we'll call it, that is unpredictable. It's risky, isn't it? Anytime you join your life with another person, isn't that kind of risky? And it's uncharted. I mean, you may think he's got a good job and we're going to be fine and all of that kind of thing, but things happen along the way, don't they? So you go not knowing. You know, the apostles did that. Isn't that what Jesus intended for them? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were expected to go. But they didn't know what they were going to face. And he tried to prepare them. And he did prepare them some. And he did send the Holy Spirit to guide them into where to go. But they didn't know until they went. You know, there were occasions when Paul wanted to go somewhere and the Spirit said, no, don't go there, go this other place. So he did. And he's a good example of faith as well. I want to tell you, a new Christian is like this. A decision to become a Christian that appears virtually insane to some other people, maybe even in your own family. Yet it's prompted by none other than the Lord Himself and your faith in the Lord. It may not necessarily in everything that God asks you to do seem to be logical even. And it may be unexplainable, some of the things that you try to explain to your worldly friends that you were close to before you learned about being a Christian. And they just don't get it, do they? So you go without knowing everything. We pack our bags, we pull up stakes, we bid friends farewell, we launch out, we face the future that is uncertain, and we follow the Lord. You want to know, that's why Peter said we are strangers and foreigners in this land. We're like Abraham. Strangers in a different land than maybe where we were before. I want to read you something. I don't do this very often, but I want to read you something that Martin Luther said. And he was speaking about this passage in Hebrews 11 about Abraham going but not knowing. And I think he said this accurately. He said, this is the glory of faith. Namely, not to know where you're going, what you're doing, what you are suffering, and after taking everything captive, perception and understanding, strength and will, to follow the bare voice of God and to be led and driven, rather than to drive yourself. That's an interesting quote, isn't it? And I think he does touch on the very meaning of all of this. So we want to ask ourselves a question. And this is a good sermon, so we'll have 3 points, okay, this evening. I don't know if Kent does that or not. I have a brother that did about 10 points most of the time. You all might prefer 3 points tonight. I'm kidding you. But not knowing the future, how does faith, going but not knowing, prove itself to be the kind of faith that God wants? And I think we see that in Abraham, in this story, in these verses in Genesis 12 and the succeeding verses down through that chapter, we see these 3 things I want to suggest to you tonight. The first is faith going, not knowing, obeys. It puts oneself in the position of a servant to God, and it obeys. Isn't that what Abraham did? That's the way he felt about it. That's the way he believed. That was the confidence that he had in God. He was willing to do whatever God said to do. And that made him a faithful person. I want to say to all of you tonight, you can be the same kind of faithful person that Abraham was. I mean by that, even to the same degree that he was. Abraham was not a Superman. He didn't go around with a red S on his chest, you know, and fly to places. He could have gotten from Ur to Haran to Canaan a lot quicker, I'm sure, if he was Superman, but he wasn't. Abraham was just a man, a human being like you are. He obeyed God. He did what God said to do. Now, undoubtedly, when God came to him and said, "Get up out of your country and go to a land that I will show you," he wondered, what is this going to be like? He was natural. He had to be natural about it. You would wonder, wouldn't you? Is this a 1 week journey? Is this a 1 month journey? Is this a year journey? As it turned out, it was for the rest of his life. And the first indication we have of age on him is 75, and he lived to be 140. So here's Abraham. This is going to be a long, lifelong kind of a thing for him. And how would he know when he got there? Would God tell him? Would God show him? And what challenges would he face? And did he have enough provisions to do all of this? You see, wouldn't Abraham wonder about all of that? And wouldn't that be important to him? But one of the things you see about Abraham and his obedience to God is this: it's not hesitating. Like Moses hesitated, you know? And Moses made excuses for himself. Abraham did not procrastinate. He didn't sit around trying to decide. He was not indecisive. He was not reluctant. And he didn't put any stipulations on God's commands. "I'll do this if you explain it to me," or "I'll do this if you do such and such." So that was Abraham's faith. And I want to say to you, God calls each of you to get up and do his will. And it may not be geographic like it was with Abraham. He may not be asking you to go to a far country somewhere to do something good for him. But our life, our whole life, is a journey through the part of this world that we live in. And we have been called by God to go, not always knowing where we're going. We're called to do. Our journey is from, at first, learning about Christ to then growing in Christ and to becoming close to Christ to living a life devoted to Christ and ultimately to going home to live with Christ eternally. Isn't that true of our journey? So it's important, I think, that we recognize, first of all, we have to obey God. We have to listen to what God says and do what he says, and that will take us along in our journey as He intends that for us. Now, the second thing, let me see, I need to get you there, I guess, is going, not knowing, means we have to trust God's promises, don't we? Now, God made promises to Abraham, and those were the basis of what it was all about. I put them on the screen. You can look at them. God gave him, said, I will give you a land. Go to a land that I will show you, and I'll give it to you. And he said, I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless all mankind through your seed. That's the promises, right? And was not that the driver for Abraham? The promises of God. But the promises wouldn't mean anything if Abraham didn't believe. If he didn't have that kind of conviction and that kind of faith. So, God has made promises to us. Come back to that in just a minute. Let me read you something else from Hebrews 11. You still have that open? Maybe you still have it open on your lap. In verse 11, notice something here. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It's wonderful to notice in this text, even in ancient times, godly women were recognized by God as His servants and as blessed and as those who were a part of His plan to bring salvation to mankind and to lead us all back to God eternally. So here is Sarah now. She's included in this, what we call sometimes the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And what did she believe? Well, she believed that God is faithful who had promised. That's what our text says. And she knew that God had said to her husband that his seed, and that was to come through her. So she believed. God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. Let's take a little sidebar here just a minute. He did that around the time that Abraham was 75 years old. When we read this, Abraham is 99 years old. So here is Abraham going to have a child when he's 100. And she's 90. Take some faith, you think? I'll not ask how old you ladies are. I'll not even ask if you plan to start a family at this time in your life. Some of our young ladies may do that. But probably not when you're 90. Still believing God. You know, God makes promises. And sometimes it seems like a long time before those promises. And some people give up on God. Here we are 24, 25 years later than God's promises. And Abraham is believing it. Would you continue to believe God's promise if He somehow or other spoke to you supernaturally in a dream or a vision and told you that you would have some blessing? Would you believe Him if it went 24, 25 years later and nothing happened? But that was Abraham's faith. He was going, not knowing when this would all happen. And incidentally, between us tonight, some of it happened later, after he was gone, even. But he believed God's promises, and he acted on those. So Hebrews chapter 6, at verse 12, I've got this passage down on my paper here. It says, it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. There's a passage over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 19. And it says, this is about Abraham, incidentally. And it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, even though he was 100 and his wife was 90. He believed God could do it, and that God would do it. See, that's faith. Remember, faith doesn't just believe that God exists. Faith believes what God says. And that's important, isn't it? And that was the faith of Abraham. So we believe that. And then I want to take you to the third point very quickly, and that is that this kind of faith that goes when it doesn't know is willing to sacrifice to please God. It's willing to give as God has instructed. You see, Abraham was reared in the city of Ur, in the land of the Chaldeans. Now, I don't know if you know a lot about Ur. There are a lot of things we'd like to know that we don't know this much down the road, centuries from then. But we do know that Ur was located in Mesopotamia near the intersection of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. It was dedicated to a god of the moon named Nannar. And his temple, Nannar's temple, was in the center of the city, along with a great big ziggurat that had been dedicated to his honor. Nannar was considered to be the king and the landlord of the people. In fact, we're told that the moon god owned their farms. He owned their shops. He owned their wealth. And I don't know if you remember or not, but Joshua tells us that Terah, that's Abraham's father, worshipped other gods before coming out of Ur. But you see, Abram, when he leaves, doesn't only leave his family. He leaves a place with a particular kind of culture. It was a pagan culture. It was a heathen culture. God is getting him out of a place that would have, in the minds of the general society, challenged the true God. So God tells him to leave. His place was a place of false gods, a place of unbelief in the true God. It represented sin. So let me ask you, if God, in his providence, wants you to go, and you're not knowing where you're going. What will you be called to leave? Will it be an environment of lying and gossip and immorality and unforgiveness? Will it be a place of even lukewarmness with regard to God? Will it be time to leave Ur and journey to the promised land? You see, it's significant that only one exception, Abraham evidenced his willingness to sacrifice, not only in leaving all that behind to do what God wanted him to do and to be what God wanted him to be and to lead his family in that direction, but Abram also built altars to sacrifice. With only one exception, it specifically says in the Genesis account where Abraham stopped to pitch his tent that he built an altar there. And what this is saying to me is we have some sacrifices that we have to make to be Christians. We do. And one of those sacrifices is to worship God as we should, to give Him the time that He deserves, to give Him the adoration and the praise that He deserves. And we can think about all of these sacrifices, but they all boil down to knowing the Lord, loving the Lord, and serving the Lord in our lives. So that brings us to kind of our conclusion for this evening. I think we've got the point, don't we? We see what kind of man Abraham was and what kind we ought to be. And I just think in closing I want to say to you that God is probably calling all of us to go in some area of our life. It might be to do something helpful for our neighbor. It might be to be an encouragement to a co-worker. It might be to begin a service to others that you don't really feel qualified to do. It may be something God wants you to go do and you don't know how that will work out, whether they will respond properly or what. But you see, if we have faith, we recognize that God sees things that we don't see. And He knows things that we don't know. And He has a plan. And it requires our obedience. So God said to Abraham, for example, I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. Abraham didn't say, how are you going to do that, Lord? I'm not going until I know. That was not Abraham. And that can't be us. We have to depend on God and trust Him. Abraham did not depend on his own intelligence. He didn't depend on his own wit or his good looks or his charm or any of those kind of things, his speaking ability, any of those kind of things. He didn't trust in those things. He just trusted in God. And God said, I'll make your name great if you do my will. Isn't that a wonderful story? Well, you know, the time is going to come for each of us when we must go forth from this world and from this life, not really knowing a lot about where we're going. What do I know about this journey? Well, there's a little bit in God's Word that I have read of it. But how little do we know, really, of the experience of passing from this life into the next? You know, the text tells us, Abraham, look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that what we do? And isn't that what we base our life on? And we don't know everything about it that we would like to know, but we live by faith. We walk by faith. We trust God. We obey. We trust His promises. And we're willing to make our sacrifices because we want to go to that city that God has. And knowing that since He is with us, we need fear no evil. Like David said a long time ago, I will fear no evil, for God, Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me. Do you believe that? I hope you do. And maybe there's someone here tonight who believes that and has decided it's time to act upon it by faith. We say sometimes we have to believe. We have to have faith. And then we can repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Are you ready to do that tonight? If you are, won't you come and obey the gospel and be a Christian while we stand and sing, please?